When you think of country music, you probably have a particular image in mind. But as you can imagine, the history is way more complicated.
This week on Throughline, we sit down with filmmaker Ken Burns to talk about his new documentary about the origins of country music.
Throughline from NPR, the podcast where we go back in time
to understand the present.
Happy Friday, everyone. From NPR Music and All Songs Considered, I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with Stephen Thompson.
Hello, Robin.
And in Nashville, Ann Powers.
Hello.
It's New Music Friday, and we're looking at the best albums out on September 13th, starting with the third full-length from the Lumineers.
Gloria, I smell it on your breath. Gloria, booze and peppermint. Gloria.
The band is Lumineers. The album is titled Three, and the song we're listening to is called Gloria. This is a band based out of Denver, and it is, in fact, their third album, but the name actually refers to a much more elaborate concept behind this one.
Yeah, Robin, you know, a lot of people know the Lumineers from their massive hit Ho Hey, which you could say is a pretty simple song, but they've always been a very literate and adventurous band. And for their third album, they created a concept, 9 songs in 3 chapters, each one focused on a character who are members of this family, the Sparks. The family is loosely based on family members of Wesley Schultz and Jeremiah Freights, the two leaders of the Lumineers. And it tells a deep story of addiction and how families are affected by the struggles of their loved ones. And it's I was impressed.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. This band is at a real crossroads in its career, right? You know, in the early aughts, you had a bunch of these bands that had that big stomping, clapping, bay, bay,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Mumford and Sons, and of Monsters and Men, you know, yeah. Bands like that had that sound. And that sound fell somewhat out of favor kind of quickly, right? And so where do you go from there? Now, Lumineers had a record in 2016 that did very, very well. It's not like they're having to really come back. But Lumineers, to me, seem to be, you know, doubling down somewhat on the kind of warm acoustic sound, but also digging much deeper thematically in ways that I think are really interesting.
That style has never fallen out of favor for me. I mean, I'm always a sucker for a big euphoric group sing-along, and there are lots of those on this record, but I think the concept behind it is interesting, but for me it was really about the songcraft. I think the songcraft is really there, the arrangements, melodies, the production. Lumineers, and their third full-length is called Three. Let's go to what is probably the most anticipated late summer release this year, and it comes from Charlie XCX and her self-titled record, Charlie.
Fuck with my click. Drop my stuff on the strip. Prospects all on the whip. Pull up and room, oh shit. Charlie's up in this bitch. Charlie's up in this sack. Yeah, wanna want my click. They wanna pick my click. Kiss with the glass, I click. Cash register goes click. You can't fuck with my click. Drop my stuff on the strip. Prospects all on the whip. Pull up and room, oh shit. Charlie's up in this bitch. Yeah, Charlie's up in this. Pull up and we dripping in gold. The king of my click when I roll. Hit king cause she cute on my phone. Hit Tommy, he know how to fall. We fly off as customers go. I'm zooming my wear on the globe. Don't care about the records you sold. Cause sign if you did it alone. I'm so 2020 with my vision.
This song's pretty bonkers, I think. It's called Click from Charlie XCX and her new album called Charlie. She's someone I listen to sort of like Troye Sivan or Billie Eilish or FKA Twigs, and I think like, wow, this is the future of pop, but the future is now.
Sure, and it's also very cluttered. And that's not a diss. I mean, Charlie XCX is one of the biggest global hit makers working right now. She's a master collaborator. She's all over the pop charts. Just the list of collaborators on this record is really impressive. You've got Lizzo and Haim and Troye Sivan, as you mentioned, Big Frida, Clairo, Sky Ferreira, Kim Petras, all of these collaborators, all of whom have a lot to say in these songs that are ping-ponging all over the place. I mean, you hear in that song Click an almost industrial quality to it, where that she's a synth pop hit maker, but it also could be like a Nine Inch Nails song.
Right. That's the thing that I think is so fascinating about someone like Charlie XCX and the other artists I mentioned too, is that they're dominating pop music in very artful ways. You know, right. Like they're getting to the top of the charts, but it's not just about that. It's about the craft and the message in these songs. And the production is super polished, and you have things like vocal effects, which we're used to getting in a lot of popular pop music, but it also gets really warped in fantastic ways. The song that we were listening to is called Click. Here's how it sort of devolves by the end.
Well, I mean, Charlie XCX has been challenging pop norms, if there is such a thing as pop norms, for a long time. I mean, she was one of the people behind one of the greatest singles of the past decade, Iconopop's
Yes.
I Love It. And, you know, she has, as you're saying, Stephen, been creating this international community. And she's aligned with PC Music, whom we know and love because Sophie, the Yep. amazing category-defining producer and artist, is associated with PC Music. But I think you're hearing what you hear in other PC Music projects, which is the sound of, as you're saying, like many genres kind of melting together, but also the sound of kind of life lived online, you know, that, that fluid identity that typifies this moment. I really think she is an avatar of that.
Charlie XCX, and her new album is, in fact, called Charlie. Let's go next to this great rock band called Bethlehem Steel and their self-titled new record. This is Bethlehem Steel. Their latest full-length is self-titled, and the song we're listening to is Government Cheese. This is a band I discovered quite randomly at South by Southwest a few years ago when their debut album came out in 2017 called Party Naked Forever. And I think like a lot of younger, newer bands and artists who've dropped really strong debuts in recent years, their follow-up is sort of a nice breakthrough for them.
Yeah, this record feels like a real leap for me, not only in terms of sound. You know, they added a new guitarist, Cristina Puerto, who's also collaborating on a lot of the songwriting, but just thematically, this record runs really deep. I mean, these are songs about empowerment and female friendship and also toxic relationships. That song, Government Cheese, is about fleeing toxicity for the sake of your mental health. And the whole record is just shot through with this sense of purpose. The singer and guitarist Becca Raskolnik works with this new guitarist Cristina Puerto, writing these songs together, and they just have this lyrical force behind them.
It's interesting because, you know, we were talking about with Charlie XCX how the sound is so experimental and can be unsettling. Mm-hmm. A band like Bethlehem Steel, the sound is pretty straightforward. I mean, especially if you're a fan of indie rock, but that straightforward sound allows for different kinds of breakthroughs, you know, the comforting sound of those guitars, that drive, it makes a space for them to say things that haven't necessarily been said before or really still need saying, even if they have been said before.
Bethlehem Steel is the band. Their latest record, their second full-length record, is self-titled. Let's do one more before the break. This is a record that just absolutely blew me away. It comes from Emily Sandé. The record is called Real Life.
Baby, I've been lost at sea. I've been in the dark. Oh, I've been on my knees. I've been torn apart. So I thank God.
When I first heard this song, Survivor, from Emily Sandé, I was in the car, and I just wanted to floor it. I just felt so good listening to this record. It's called Real Life. Emily Sandé, a British singer-songwriter, and this is her third full-length album, and I just immediately fell for this one.
I like to imagine you raising your hands to the sky, Robin.
Yeah, I let go of the steering wheel, and both of them were up in the air. I was weaving all over the highway.
Let Jesus take that wheel.
Well, that's an apt comparison, Stephen. Actually, Carrie Underwood, you mentioned Jesus Take the Wheel. I mean, Emily Sandé is a major star, especially in England, where she lives. She is all about inspiration. I mean, that's what you can say about Emily Sandé. Yeah. This whole album, it just oozes uplift.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds unpleasant, but if you need that kind of drive and that reach, I mean, she's got the voice and, you know, all the elements are there to give that to you on this album. The string sections, the gospel background singers, the echoing beats, you know, and she can deliver on that, and she does over and over again on this album.
Yeah, her intentions are so, so clear.
Oh, yeah, it's unambiguous.
You know,
just
the song titles alone, like Survivor and Human and Extraordinary Being and You Are Not Alone.
Shine.
Shine. This is an album that is meant to inspire and embolden and uplift.
I think she just sounds like this indomitable force. You know, the songs are all about acknowledging that life is hard. It's a lot of hard work for a lot of people. People are hurting. But they will not be beaten down, that love and compassion will ultimately win the day. And that's what, I mean, impeccable production, flawless voice, but it is her spirit that absolutely captured me on this one. Emily Sandé is the singer. Her album is called Real Life. We've still got a handful of other albums that we want to play for this week's New Music Friday, plus our lightning round of other notable releases. There are a lot of them this week. But first, we need to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey. Jack Daniel's is the oldest, mellowest, whiskiest whiskey, and every drop is made in Lynchburg, Tennessee. It's how Jack Daniel himself made it over a century ago, and it's how they still do it today. Jack Daniel's, turning nights into stories since 1866. Please drink responsibly. Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
It's New Music Friday from NPR and All Songs Considered. I'm Robin Hilton. I'm here with Ann Powers and Stephen Thompson, and we're looking at the best albums out on September 13th. We start the second half of our show with the band Microwave and their new album, Death is a Warm Blanket.
If you don't want to talk, then just don't talk. I'm fine with us just sitting in silence. If you want me to go, then just say so. You can
drop me off somewhere. I don't know, I don't have anywhere to go.
Microwave is the band. The album is Death is a Warm Blanket. This was another one I heard in the car, and I was just like, yes! This song is called Leather Daddy. This is a trio from Atlanta. It's their third full-length record. You know, we've talked a lot about musicians, younger musicians, and how they often write about youthful anxieties and uncertainty. And then on later records, they grow up a bit and things start to get better for them. This is total opposite for this band. The singer and guitarist Nathan Hardy says when he was young, he was full of so much hope and, you know, his music reflected it. Things were going to be great. But as he got older, he started having health problems and that feeling faded and he realized, I don't have health insurance. You know, I'm flat broke all the time. I'm couch surfing just for a place to stay. He actually even considered quitting music altogether, but instead decided to double down, pour all of that anger and frustration into this record. And Lord, I just think it delivers. There's so much catharsis in this record.
The dream of the 90s.
Yes.
Is alive and well. This would have fit right in on a bill next to Local H.
Yes. You know? Right on. I mean, they're definitely like that Nirvana strain is in there. You definitely can hear it.
I just love how they balance sort of the sweet, calm music with just this suddenly savage, just horrifically abrasive sound. There are not a lot of bright spots on this. Well, there are none really on this record. But at the end of it, I think that you're left feeling that this is the beginning of the road to him getting better. Like he's at step one, which is acknowledging that there is a real problem here.
This album is weapons grade rubinium.
Rubinium. Love it. Love it so much. And I have to be honest, I totally listened to this record because the title is Death is a Warm Blanket.
Exactly.
And I'm so glad I did. And that band is Microwave, Death is a Warm Blanket. Let's go next to an artist who has done a lot of rock and metal music in recent years, but is going a little quieter on her most recent one. This is Chelsea Wolfe, and the album is called Birth of Violence.
Style.
love how relatively quiet and pretty this is and still sludgy,
it still gets under your skin a little bit.
Yeah, Chelsea Wolfe, the album's Birth of Violence, and this song is deranged for rock and roll. And like I mentioned, a lot of her music on her most recent albums has been very loud and dark and even unsettling, but this one she pulls way back and it kind of gets more into acoustic sounds.
Yeah, Chelsea Wolfe started out as a bedroom recording artist, a lot of quieter stuff that seethed more than it stormed, and then tilted more heavily into the storm. You know, these really big and grandiose arrangements. And for this one, you know, it followed a period where she was out into the world and she needed some solitude. She needed to kind of reassess and hit the reset button a little bit. And so she turned her sound inward again. It's not quite as spare as her early work, but as you hear, it still seethes really, really powerfully and intensely, even though the sound is dialed back.
I mean, perhaps this is a dangerous comparison for me to make, but it's kind of like a rock and roll Lana Del Rey in a lot of ways.
Interesting. Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, there's a beauty and a kind of a softness to it, almost a lullaby quality. But then where is this soft stream taking you? It's taking you into the dark heart of this woman, the dark psyche of this woman. And I think it's that dreamy, almost surrealist quality that really, for me, opens up new vistas. Like, it just, to me, I can get lost in a record like this.
Well, and that title, Birth of Violence, speaks volumes, right? You know, and when you start to pick apart these songs, there's a song called Little Grave about school shootings. There's a song called Erde about climate catastrophe. Like, this is a dark, swirling record about very unsettling topics. And so this is a darkness in the psyche kind of record, which seems to be a little bit of a recurring theme this week. Emily Sende aside.
Well, and Lana Del Rey did have that album called Ultraviolence.
Ultraviolence, yeah, in fact. True.
Chelsea Wolfe is the artist. Her new record is called Birth of Violence. Let's go next to Sampa the Great. Sampa the Great has a new album out called The Return.
To find my fortune, I don't need home to feel important, but I need a feeling of peace. I'm not broken, searching for size for getting in until the ether. Wonder if ancestors believe in nothing but my DNA. It's searching for what's inside of me. Physically displaced, spiritually erased. I see the space. This is a war about fears. Physically searching for spiritual exodus.
This is Sampa the Great. The album is called The Return, and the song we're listening to is the opening cut called Moana. She's a singer, a rapper, a poet. She's put out a handful of mixtapes and EPs, but this is her debut full-length record.
Yes, Robin, the return doesn't refer to her coming back to the recording studio as much as it refers to her returning to Africa. Sampa is probably Australia's leading young rapper. However, she is by birth Zambian, and she was raised mostly in Botswana. So this album is kind of the story of her reckoning with her Africanness. And it has a wonderful sound that really feels global. And many guests, some of whom are from South Africa or other places on the African continent, some of whom are British. It's a wide range of guests. And her stories that she tells really confront the complexity of identity of being an immigrant, a global citizen, and the story of her family as well. And I love her flow. She has this kind of extremely intellectual flow, and there's a wryness to her vocal tone that I just love.
I think what I love are the so many interesting polyrhythms, how she mashes up different styles. And it gets a little disjointed in places too, you know, like everything is just a little off kilter, but keeps you, you know, in a way that keeps you locked in.
Right. Well, that I think is the reflection of her experience in the world. Her experience as someone who, she lived in America for a while. She's been identified as an Australian artist, but she is African, and thinking about what it means to be African in the 21st century. And it's fascinating. I really love what she's doing.
Sampa the Great is the artist. The album is called The Return. We have one more album that we want to play for this week's New Music Friday, but there are a ton of other notable releases that we want to be sure to mention, starting with Belle and Sebastian. Belle and Sebastian has a new album out called Days of the Bangled Summer. Devendra Banhart has a new record called Ma. Sandy Alex G has a record called House of Sugar. We just had Sandy Alex G on All Songs Considered earlier this summer. And the band Troopa Troopa has an album out now called Of the Sun. It is a great one.
I know you also, Robin, featured Jenny Haval recently on All Songs Considered. She has another fascinating release called The Practice of Love. The harmonizing, glorious Angels of Joseph have a new record called Good Luck Kid. An artist I've grown to really love, the Australian artist Alex Cameron. He's sort of this louche character. If you like Father John Misty and Lana Del Rey, you will like Alex Cameron.
You're really doubling down on the Lana Del Rey this week, aren't you? You're not backing down.
I wonder why. I'm such a fan. And Sean Colvin releasing an acoustic anniversary edition of her classic 1989 album, Steady On.
Yeah, so many records this week. The Pixies, their third album since coming back from a long hiatus, is called Beneath the Eyrie. A really nice punk band called Chastity, whose songs keep getting prettier and sparklier in a strange way. Their new album is called Homemade Satan. Griff Rees from Super Furry Animals has this experimental psychedelic Tropicalia record called Pang. Hobo Johnson of Tiny Desk Contest fame, his big label debut, The Fall of Hobo Johnson, is out today. The band Goo Goo Dolls has a new album called Miracle Pills. So many albums this week. And finally, a really dreamy, sweet folk pop record called Means to Me by the band Long Beard.
All of those albums and much more out now on September 13th, along with this last one that we want to do. It is the singer Jeremy Ivey and his new album, The Dream and the Dreamer.
Ain't it hard when you find the time is so unkind, leaves you out in the cold with no one's hand to hold. I'll be your river. You be my sea. I'm a fool in school, alone. Swim through stone. I was born so far from home. I'll be your river. You be my sea. You be my sea.
This is Jeremy Ivey. His album is The Dream and the Dreamer. The song we're listening to is called Story of a Fish. He is a Nashville singer and songwriter who's spent a number of years supporting other artists, including his wife, Margot Price. But now he's got his own debut album out.
Jeremy Ivey has been an excellent artist in his own right for a long time. He and Margot had a band called Buffalo Clover before Margot broke out as the new queen of country. And I love that band. But this sounds nothing like that band, and it really doesn't sound anything like what Margot does either, although they made the record together. This album explores one of the, you know, classic themes or affects of Americana music, which is, you know, kind of the story of the wandering stranger. The songs, some of them are very much about staying steadfast with your partner. In general, I think Jeremy is exploring similar themes to what everyone from like Hank Williams to Neil Young have explored. You know, the story of the twilight side of America. I think that's where he goes in these songs. And the sound is a wonderful blend of psychedelic rock and country and blues and indie. It's with a distinctive quality all its own.
Well, he's been a bit of a wanderer throughout his life. You know, he kind of interesting guy. He grew up in a really conservative religious family in Georgia and was discouraged from playing music, and he really couldn't even listen to music. And he kind of wandered around in his early 20s doing odd jobs. And then in his mid-20s, he met Margot. And she just really encouraged him and to pursue music and helped him find his voice. And now he's 40 years old. And I love how he's like, okay, I'm finally doing this. I'm finally getting started. You know, like this isn't the end, or he's not like at the halfway point in his career or whatever.
Yeah, I wish more musicians were making their first album at 40. The notion that music is something you start when you're a teenager and then you make your big, grand, perspective-laden artistic statement at 19 or 20. You know, it's just one of the very, very few fields where that's that trajectory. And I think this record feels like the work of somebody kind of entering middle age with a whole bunch of perspective, with a whole bunch of experience, and just making a record that's true to who he is.
Jeremy Ivey, the album is The Dream and the Dreamer, and that'll do it for this week's New Music Friday. Thanks, Anne.
Thank you.
And Stephen.
Thank you, Robin.
If you want to hear full versions of the songs we featured and a whole bunch of other new music out this week, we've got a New Music Friday playlist in both Spotify and Apple Music. Just open one of those apps and search for NPR Music. You can also listen on our website at npr.org/allsongs. And for NPR Music, I'm Robin Hilton. Be well, have a great weekend, and treat yourself to lots of music.